Books of the Bible. Amos was a shepherd called to prophesy during a time of prosperity in Israel and Judah. But this prosperity was accompanied by idolatry, extravagance, and corruption. When you consider the society you live in, Amos declares that God judges societies by his standard of righteousness. He hates all corruption and injustice. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Cash for the hard goods. Oh, hello. Sorry, we're on. This is Wretched Radio. Hoping you will send all things wretched to idea@wretched.org. And you can text till your heart's content, which apparently our hearts are never content when it comes to texting. We sure do love to text, don't we? 877-282-2337. Jimmy, I got a text.
Oh, you do?
I can't tell you about it because we haven't announced this publicly, but during the last, when we were talking about whether or not a pastor should have a bulletproof pulpit, what would that look like?
I don't know.
Like, there would be plexiglass between you and the congregation. I would probably argue rather strongly against that. I don't know what good having a plexiglass pulpit would do you, like a bulletproof pulpit. Like when you're from your torso up, you're pretty vulnerable. Preaching is an intimate thing. I think a pastor needs to be prepared. We've all unfortunately been to the church where the pastor comes out and says, you know, I had something prepared, but I'm just going to go with what God laid on my heart. Uh-oh, look out. We're going to get yelled at. You should prepare. But simultaneously, I will use this term somewhat cautiously, the preacher should be willing to let the Spirit move him. And if he thinks that it's important to say these things, and that comes from eye connection, you do read body language. You do kind of get the sense of what people are, how they're receiving this and what the need might be, or something comes to your mind that you haven't thought of that suddenly it's like, I think this is really important for the body. And to put a piece of bulletproof glass between you and the congregation, I think it might harm that relationship. Having said that, it's up to each church to make that decision. But whilst we were talking about that subject, I got a text. I'm not going to tell you that it was from Virgil Walker because we have not announced this yet, what we're going to be doing in January regarding the theology of Martin Luther King Jr. I can't talk about it, but I did get a text, but I didn't answer it while I was talking. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Iran. Todd, I'm 23 years old and have been under conviction about growing as a man, and your recent episodes and the way of manhood have been an enormous help. With regard to relationships and courting a young lady, and I know this may sound like a silly question, but how does a young man actually ask a young lady out as a Christian?
I don't think that's silly at all. Now, if you are only thinking like, dude's date, man, you want to go bowling? I can take you bowling. Okay, well, you can ask somebody out on a date. But I think a Christian young man is thinking bigger. That dating should be intentional. I think you're setting yourself up for heartache and potential regrets, making some missteps, sexual sins. If you're just dating, if you're dating without thinking, where could this go? Where do I want this to go? You're just going to go, let's go. I got a coupon to the movies. You want to go? Okay, well, you can do that. I think you're playing Russian roulette. But a Christian man, I think before asking a woman out on a date, you can call it courting, whatever you like, has done some thinking and some observing without being a creeper. Is this somebody who's qualified? Have you considered that? Study that person. Do they seem to have the attributes that qualify them for being a godly spouse? And we were talking about this yesterday, the day, something like that. We were talking about the intimacy that should exist between a husband and wife, trusting one another. Furthermore, what are you doing together? It's mutual sanctification. You're running the celestial city together. You want to do it with somebody who's in that game and wants those things and desires those things. And if you don't see that, I would say that's a pass. There's no point because they're not somebody that you should be pursuing because they're simply not ready yet. And almost every time a young person overlooks the criteria that the Bible sets forth for what makes a man or woman qualified to be a spouse, It's the pitter patter. Oh, no, oh, I just really think she's, oh, he's the, it's your heart speaking. Do not listen to your emotions. You need to listen to your Bible. Are they qualified to be married? So let's say you, is it Aaron? You said Aaron.
Aaron, A-R-R-A-N.
But wouldn't that just be Aaron?
Maybe. I may have said that wrong, but I took it as Aaron.
Well, no, it could, you know, these, everybody likes to spell, you know, we don't want to spell it the traditional way, so it's unique and different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we tried that with Haley. And we didn't, we weren't unique at all. So Aaron, if you have, you've identified a woman and you think, you know what, that that's somebody that appears to be qualified. You're not done yet in your considerations. And does she appear to be somebody that you are interested in personality-wise? I will even say this, it is not at the top of the list. And we need to be careful with this certainly, but the physical attraction part is not high up on the list, but it's not off the list either. And you've determined, yes, these boxes are checked. Well, that doesn't mean you're ready to marry the person, but it does change the way that you're going to ask her to spend time with you. So if you've identified somebody that you think checks all of the boxes, then your proposal for a date is going to include a talk about these things. Hi. I mean, obviously, it depends on how much you already know the person, how much time you've been spending together, and whatever the context is, whether it's at work, youth group, what have you, school. Hey, could I talk to you for a moment? Make it earnest and sincere. Don't just, oh, I hope she just goes out with me, man. That would be just really good. No, be a man who's got intention, and you've got something bigger in mind. I have been spending a lot of time with you, and I'd like to spend more time with you because, wow, I got to tell you, everything I've observed about you indicates you're a godly woman. You're a godly individual that would be well qualified to be a wonderful wife. And I wondered if you might be willing to spend time with me to see if you might have the same feelings about me. Would you like to spend some time together? What do you like to do? Let's do that. Something along those lines. Make it, and you can even think it out in advance. Don't rely on your wits in the moment because you're going to be all pitter-patter anyway. So think it through and what's the point of it? And now I know maybe if you're young, here's what you're thinking.
Dude, like a little heavy, right?
But that's only because your view of dating is too light. What is the point of dating? You want to see if this is an individual that you're going to spend the rest of your life with in a one flesh union. This ain't no game. The world's way of going about finding a spouse, it's so trivial. It's so trite. Look for the big things. And if they're like, what? You're thinking about marriage? Get away from me. Then say, so sorry to have bothered you. She's not. So what would be the point of dating somebody who doesn't feel that way? You want to find the woman who's going to go, seriously? You're like thinking about a biblical marriage and godly spouses? Yeah, that's exactly what I've been praying for my whole life. That's what you're looking for. And don't be disappointed if somebody just turns you down because it's just a little too religious. If Jesus Christ is going to be the centerpiece of your marriage, he should be the centerpiece of your dating. And if he's not, then I would suggest you don't ask him out at all. I would also encourage you, because somebody in your life, an older man, should have more of these details, probably knows the young lady that you already have in view, and could give you some pointers and some, hey, here's how you could do it. You could ask like this. You could talk about it like that. Get some talking points, but do it with intentionality, with loftier goals. And if the woman doesn't respond, then she's not ready for that. But if she does, well, dude, then you're on your way. May turn out to be your bride. But if you don't share that up front, I know this sounds corny to people. I know it does. But if you don't state your intentions, well, you're just gambling. And we all know Christians don't gamble. You got anything else, Jimmy?
No, I'm just wondering how that played out in your life.
I was an idiot.
How did you?
I wasn't a believer when I was with Mrs. Friel.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I was just a moron.
You just asked her to go get a soda down at Ben Franklin's.
Ben Franklin's. No, I don't. I all I know is, I kid you not, when I saw her coming down the stairs into the basement of that church in St. Paul, Minnesota, I knew that was going to be my wife. I'm just telling, I knew that. Now, did I know what that meant?
So I think you're kind of pretty. Want to go out with me sometime?
Just a total moron. So I get it. So I wish I could say that's what I did. I didn't because I wasn't a believer at the time. But I wish I had. Wish, and this is stepping into manhood, which, by the way, I'm really grateful for Aaron for the shout out on Way of Manhood, Adam Tyson's podcast. You can find it at Fortis Plus. In fact, I think he's going to actually address this subject coming up. It's well worth your time. Thinking bigger, thinking loftier, thinking future, thinking biblical. That's what it means to be a man, at least a Christian man. This is Wretched Radio.
Breaking news. In a world where biblical truth is increasingly rare, Fortis Institute is actually expanding. We're expanding our reach every single month. And get this, churches are actually getting stronger through solid biblical teaching. And here's the story. Your gift gets doubled right now through a matching grant. That means twice the impact, twice the reach, twice the transformation. Think more resources, more teaching, more churches equipped with truth that matters. We're not just maintaining around here. We're growing. More radio stations, more content, more believers getting equipped, more churches being strengthened, and unlike those clickbait headlines the world tries to feed us, this is actual verifiable impact. The fine print? Just one thing. The matching grant opportunity ends December the 31st. That's it. No complicated conditions, just a straightforward chance to double your impact. Visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because while everybody else is backing down, we're stepping up. FortisInstitute.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, let's take a minute and talk about your Christmas shopping list. You know, the one with all of those people who either have everything or return everything. Well, from now through Christmas, Fortis Institute is running a sale up to 75% off of everything in the Fortis store. Here's what makes this better than another ugly Christmas sweater. Spend $75, we're going to throw in Thou Shalt Judge featuring Justin Peters and Todd Friel completely free. It's giving the gift of biblical wisdom. And we'll even cover shipping on orders over $75, because between untangling Christmas lights and dodging invites to your office Christmas party, you've already got enough stress this time of year. Listen, you could waste your Christmas budget on another gadget that'll be obsolete by Valentine's Day, or you could give something that's been relevant for about 2,000 years. Just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. And while everybody else is out panic buying scented candles and gift cards, you could actually be giving something that won't end up at next year's White Elephant Exchange. FortisInstitute.org.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is narrative. Narratives tell us of real events with real people in real places at a real time. Not everything we read in narratives is condoned by God, but everything we read is part of God working out His plan for the world.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, romance tales from Jimmy Hicks. This is Wretched Radio. Okay, I didn't want you to tell me till you could share it publicly and be humiliated in front of tens and tens of people.
That's right.
Your first date with Mrs. Hicks.
Well, no, it wasn't the first date. It was the first time I ever saw her.
All right.
And when I asked for her phone number.
Oh, that's how you did it.
Yeah, I did. But it was the most romantic thing, at least in the South.
You were at the Fleet Farm.
I met her at a gas station.
Close enough.
Yeah.
You know, you got to meet somewhere.
That's right.
We all need petrol, don't we?
Yeah.
So you just asked her for her phone number.
Yeah. So I pulled in to get gas out of high school with a friend of mine and pumping the gas. We're talking.
Did you know anything about her?
No, I didn't know her.
You just thought.
She was getting gas somewhere
I'm
else.
Interested.
And he, my friend, he was like, "You see that girl over there?" I said, "Well, yeah. I bet you won't go ask her out."
Oh, wow.
I did.
I got her
phone number and we've been together ever since.
Yeah, okay. Unfortunately, it worked out. Because that's probably not the best way to go about it. And you can't use his anecdote to justify casually asking out a chick.
Yeah.
So try to be loftier. Now, going back, would you have done it the same way? With the wisdom that you have today.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, it would be different.
Yeah, I was lost as a ball in high weeds.
And that's Southern right there. to do it with some thoughtfulness, I think it honors the woman. Hmm. Would you, I've been observing you, again, not creepy stalker, but everything that I see about you has been so spectacular. And you're so godly. And I was hoping you might be willing to spend time with me to see if you might consider me to be a potentially qualified godly spouse. Now, can I have your number? And then you get back to filling up your tank. 877-282-2337. But it honors a woman.
It does.
And if the woman is put off by it, it's like, well, that probably answers your question. That could have only been answered through several dates, which would have ultimately resulted in heartache. What are your goals, young man? What are you looking for? If you're just going to walk around looking for some girl that you find attractive, well, you just roll them dice. Just keep rolling them dice. Instead, use your time to look for godly. And when you find one, believe me, she's not going to think you're weird. She's going to go home and tell her parents, "You are never going to guess what happened to me today. I was at the gas station and this young man came up to me and said, I just want you to know I couldn't possibly ask you out on a date because I don't know you well enough and I don't know if you're qualified to be a biblical spouse." Something like that, I think. 877. By the way, I found this quote. It was from "Good leaders come and go." I think I said something like we're all temporary. No, it's we're all interim. The person who wrote this article was talking about being an interim pastor. And, you know, you're just transitional guy until it dawned on him. We're all interim. We're all transitional because he was wondering, you know, how do I act? Do I implement? Do I try to make any changes? What do I do with this situation? I'm just the interim guy. No, we're all interim guys. All of us on this planet, not just pastors, not just parents, all of us, we're interim. And we need to remember why we're in this term in the first place. And it's to glorify God. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Sebastian. Todd, I wanted advice about engaging unbelievers, especially those whose conversations are always spewing out ungodly things.
Yeah.
I'm referring to people that just seem unreceptive even when trying to speak on the things that could possibly lead to a gospel conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that we all do this. I'm not sure this will hit the bullseye for you, but I think this is perhaps the most helpful nugget that I know has helped me so much. I no longer go out to witness to people because that attitude, that mindset for me is I got to get it in. I got to get started. I got to make sure I get the law. I got to get the gospel. I got to get the crucifixion, the resurrection. And if I don't, I failed. And if I can't get through it, that's not the purpose. I now talk to people because I want them to know the love of God in Christ Jesus. I want them to know that.
because there's nothing better. There's nothing close. It's funny. Maybe you've had this thought. It's pretty simplistic, but I was thinking about if somebody invaded our home. I was just sitting in our house, I think, and I was drinking a cup of coffee. I think it was in the morning, and I was just thanking God for our house, because I think we sometimes take it for granted, and it's like, wow, I can change the temperature. I've got cold food in there. I can make it hot by pushing a couple of buttons and sending things that'll give you a big old tumor. Look at all the conveniences that we've got here. Thank you for this, Lord. And then I thought, and if somebody were going to take everything away but one thing. Now, I'm talking about tangible. I'm not talking about people. One, you get to keep one thing. What would it be? Jimmy, what would your answer be? All of the furniture, the stuff that you've got in the garage, the junk drawers, it is all gone. Everything that you've worked for, paid for, or have on credit, what would it be, the one thing that you'd want to keep?
My Bible.
Bingo. That is exactly what I thought. I don't care. I do not care about any of this stuff. I do care about, I would die without my Bible. I mean, I feel like I would be in some sort of Dune movie where I'm just like staggering around in a desert by myself and people come up and go, what's that? I don't know. I would be totally lost without it. That's just the compass. That's all I actually need. And that is how I know other people would live a productive life and spend a magnificent eternity, that they knew and believed the contents of that book, which are all about Jesus Christ. That's what I want. That'll change the way that you engage with anybody, whether it's an intentional going out to witness or whether it is just a conversation this Christmas, whatever scenario you are in, don't be on a mission to get everything in. Be on a mission to let them know, wow, there is something so much better than anything you've ever experienced in your entire life. That'll change everything. And if they get crabby and walk away because of that, and by the way, it has a tendency to dial that way back. It is true. I think culture has changed to a degree, especially on the university campus. Witness encounters are nowhere near as contentious as they once were. They are just, people are just, they're just empty vessels waiting to be poured into. But I do recall that my witness encounters were far more volatile in that they could just go off at any time and people could walk away or just get upset or agitated and annoyed. And I believe the reason is not because culture has changed. They used to be meaner, now they're nicer. They used to be disinterested, now they're somewhat interested in spiritual things. It's because me. You feel it when you're with somebody. You just know it. When I went in with both barrels blasting, somebody's going to get wounded. And that changed. The Lord just changed that. And it'll change the way that you engage with people. And if you aren't able to get through everything, rely on God's sovereignty. Apparently, God didn't want them to hear about that. Apparently, that is one of the greatest comforts for preachers, by the way. I don't know that there's a good Bible preacher who has not perhaps on Sunday afternoon gone, oh, I left that out. I forgot that. Oh, and you can say, but God apparently didn't want me to teach it because I didn't teach it. And you can rest in that. Apparently, he didn't want them to hear that. I did, but he didn't. So I didn't, because he's in control, not me. And your witness encounters, when they are driven by a desire to share good news that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It will not be contentious. And if they don't listen to the entire thing, it's okay. The Lord is in control of it. Your job is just to be a loving, faithful, truthful witness. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. It's a text. Todd, as a missionary, is it more biblical to fundraise and live off donations for ministry support or to work a job and provide for one's own expenses?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's yeah. Mm-hmm. If somebody can support you and you can dedicate all of your energies toward it, I say praise God. If you have to work hard and make tents, I say praise God. But as long as the subject of fundraising has been brought up, it is that time of year, don't you? Jimmy, bad host. I think this is the first time I've talked about this all week because we don't typically do that in the program because, well, we trust God and God's people are generous, but it's that time of year and we've got the matching gift campaign and it's really important that if you're going to support this ministry financially, this is a really good time of the year to do it, especially with a matching gift. We are hoping that you will partner with us because we got big plans, really big plans. You're just going to see more. You're not going to believe what we're going to roll out in May and June. It's like, seriously? Wow. If you'd consider partnering with us, now would be a good time to do that. We would be most grateful. FortisInstitute.org/donate. FortisInstitute.org/donate. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.